Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. In the NFL, football ratings were down again this weekend, including last night, Sunday Night Football, partly because of player protest. They were down 8% since the previous week, and that was already down, and 10% since last year, and that was already down. So things are not going great for the televised broadcast, the revenue for NBC and the networks that are bringing football to our living rooms. So I thought we'd talk a bit about protesting in general. The principles of protest. Does the Bible have examples of protesting? What is correct to protest and what is incorrect to protest? When and where do you have the right to protest, to exercise free speech? So what is the appropriate time and place? The last time Denver Bible Church had a protest was, well, how long ago was that? Oh, that was yesterday afternoon. That's right. Denver Bible Church is near I-70 in Kipling, just west of Denver, nestled between Denver in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains. There's Denver Bible Church. And so right at Kipling and I-70, major intersection, once a month we have folks out from our church run by two of the young guys at the church, Hudson and Dominic. And usually we'll have a half a dozen, 10, 12 people there holding large signs where the traffic comes to a stop. Sometimes we leaflet, get to engage people in conversation. But generally speaking, on the principles of protest, first, how about in the Bible? Well, there are two people who come to mind. John the Baptist was sort of a protester, and a guy named Shimei in the Old Testament. He really was a protester. He protested King David for his sin, and it almost went well for Shimei, but eventually he paid a price, which you often will pay a price, whether you're right or not. John the Baptist was sort of a protester, and he paid the price too, in a godly way. Remember that Jesus said that John the Baptist was the greatest of those born to women. So the Lord really loved John the Baptist, and he publicly rebuked King Herod for committing adultery in taking his brother Philip's wife. So it's adultery, it's a form of incest, and the evil king eventually arrested John the Baptist and then beheaded him. So there is risk in protesting. If you lived in Germany during World War II and you protested against the killing of the Jews, you would probably be killed yourself. Certainly, if you tried to help them escape and you were caught, you'd be killed yourself. So how about when and where? The NFL players were told in the media that they have the right to free speech. And actually, that's false. They don't have the right to free speech. I have the right to free speech, but they don't. What do I mean? Well, in one's capacity as an employee, you do not have the right to spout off or to protest about any particular topic. It's not a matter of any right to free speech. Think of a movie actor, not only a professional sports person, but how about a movie actor right in the middle of a movie and he decides he wants his protest in the movie to be seen by a few million people? Does he have the right to do that? Of course not. Let's see, what movie could we use as an example? Let's not use the new Star Wars film that's due out in December because that has a homosexual pair in the film. What's that, The Last Jedi? It's the last Star Wars movie I'll ever see. Actually, I'm not even going to see it. So I'll skip that. But let's say in any film, the actor wants to insert into the film his protest against whatever. Let's say it's fishing in the Arctic. He doesn't like that. Huh? In the film? He's going to put that in the film? Well, of course he doesn't have the right to do that. He's an employee working for other people. They're paying for his time and his services. A waiter working for Texas Roadhouse. And he wants to protest by leafleting every table that he serves. Perhaps every table in the whole place. Does he have the right to do that? Because we do have a right to free speech. We do have a right to leaflet. But it's not a right that you can exercise at every moment, at every time, regardless of the circumstance you find yourself in. When you are paid by an employer, then you give up some of your opportunities. You might end up quitting if the contract allows you to quit under certain circumstances, or if the contract is requiring you to sin, to disobey God, to commit a crime. You may break the contract. But if a judge delays the start of a trial to talk about his favorite protest topic, that'd be inappropriate. So an employee does not have the right to free speech while working. It should be pretty obvious. Somehow it escapes notice of the majority of journalists who report on the NFL protest, that they do not have the right to free speech in that capacity there on the field. How about the bigger question of what's correct and what's incorrect to even protest about in the first place? Before we talk about that, let me remind you about our telethon. We're up to $12,500, so we're approaching 50% of our $30,000 goal. And we're at September 25th, so we don't have much time to go. The $30,000 goal, it's a vital goal. I hate to use the word desperate, but we almost desperately need the revenue. If you were to talk to the bookkeeper we have here at Bob and Yurt Live, he came in to talk to our office manager just an hour ago. He would use the word desperate pretty quickly. Now, we're so thankful for people calling in 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278, and donating. People coming to our store, they go online, kgov.com, gov like government, kgov.com. They click on the store and either donate once or monthly, or they subscribe. The subscriptions are the absolute best way to keep us on the air. And our goal is to raise enough funds so that we could be solvent, come current, and be able to look forward to broadcasting for yet another year. People also during the telethon will purchase our materials, and that helps too. I'm looking at orders that came in just this past weekend. Let's see, Sultan, Washington, a David S. purchased The Global Flood and Hydroplate Theory on Blu-ray. We have it on Blu-ray, DVD, and downloadable. So thank you so much, David, for that. We have, wow, this is so interesting. We got an order here from South Melbourne, Australia. John M. Thank you, John. Another from Otsego, Minnesota. Otsego. By a Cullen. Thank you, Cullen. And then here are three folks who ordered the plot from us. That's My Life's Work, An Overview of the Bible. And what's interesting about these three orders is that they come from young people whose last names we recognized because their parents have been longtime listeners to Bob and Yurt Live. Isn't that something? So there is a Connor, 22, Nashville, Tennessee. There's an Athena, 28, and a Michael, 17. And they all purchased the plot audio. Now, you could get the book if you like reading. The book is $49.99. The audio where I teach through the chapters of the plot, chapter by chapter, that comes on 5 CDs. And that's more expensive. That's $120. So these three young people, each of them, they bought the audio. That's astounding to me that this many young people, just to take this snapshot during our telethon, are interested in seriously studying the Bible, getting to know the Bible. What a fun time we had at church yesterday, Denver Bible Church, with the sermon. We showed a few graphics that present Paul's influence during the Book of Acts period, and also how the concept of grace is so intricately bound up in his writings and in his ministry and what he called the dispensation of grace, which God gave to him for us Gentiles and Jews today in the body of Christ. So yesterday, Sunday morning, September 24th, we looked at that, and boy, how much fun it was. And of course, those slides that we showed, the graphics, not only do they come out of the plot book, the overview of the Bible, but they're on our sermon subscriptions. So if you subscribe, if you'd like the sermons in audio or video, DVD or Blu-ray, you can do that. Just call us 800-8-N-YARDS or go online, kgov.com, and click on the store. By the way, it's not September 23rd, is it? Not September. The rapture was a bit of a dud on Saturday. Actually, the rapture will be the most phenomenal thing to happen on the earth since the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Rather phenomenal it will be when it happens. And we have plenty of teaching on the end times, the last days, the book of Revelation verse by verse, the book of Daniel verse by verse. That's all available at our store at kgov.com. But it was pretty widespread, the belief that the rapture would happen on Saturday. And so we had an office pool here. What time on Saturday? But it didn't happen. And that was, as we discussed, you know, it's not unlike our presentation on the blood moons, on the eclipse, on all the use of current events and headlines to say these are signs. This is telling us when the second coming or when the rapture will be. And if you understand the structure of the Bible, you realize a priori, you realize that these interpretations are all wrong. They're wrong because of what God has said in the scriptures about the difference between the body of Christ, which is mostly Gentile, but made up of Jews and Gentiles today, the difference between the body of Christ and Israel, which was overwhelmingly, of course, Jewish. And God had a prophetic end times calendar for Israel, but that has been put on hold. Israel's kingdom is held in abeyance while God is working through the body of Christ, Jew and Gentile equal together in the world until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. Then he will return to working with Israel. And so then that end times schedule that God has revealed in the Bible for Israel, then that will be applicable again. But until then, all these machinations and all the embarrassments of all the prophecies and predictions and interpretation of the headlines, they've all been wrong. They've been wrong for over 1,900 years. They've been wrong. And those who make the predictions and those Christians who say you're misunderstanding the end times teaching in the Bible, there have been hundreds, if not thousands, of predictions that the ones who've said, sorry, you're wrong, they've always been right, 100%. How often do you get a group that's right 100% of the time? They've been right 100% of the time. And those who've claimed that these are signs that this is it, this is the end, they've been wrong 100% of the time. That's quite a track record. Now, eventually, somebody's going to be right, even if only by accident, because the Lord will return. But they'll be right by accident. It will be by accident. So back to the NFL. And by the way, here at Bob and Yurt Live, our goal is to bring a Christian worldview to the news of the day, to our lives, our relationships, within our family, our friends, our workplace, to our neighbors, and then our influence on the culture, the nation, and the world. That's our goal. So when we talk about earthquakes, we don't only discuss the casualty, the death toll, but also why are there earthquakes in the first place? How do they happen? And why do they happen today when originally there were not earthquakes on the earth? And the same thing with hurricanes. And what do these things tell us about our history and our future? You know, the Bible says in the end times there will be many hurricanes. Oh, wait, does it say that? Oh, it doesn't say that. Sorry, I slipped. No, it said in the end times, a computer bug in the year 2000. And it will be called the Y2K computer bug, and that's when the second coming will happen. Oh, it doesn't say that? It doesn't say that either. So if you're interested, we highly recommend our teaching materials, and they come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. There is a prosecutor. Should I give the name of the town? I don't think I should. Should I? There's a prosecutor studying the Bible in Bloomington, Indiana. That's a college town, IU, Indiana University. There's a prosecutor and a detective. They're both studying the Bible. And so they go out to lunch, and I know the story from the detective. So if you're the prosecutor and you're listening right now, sorry I didn't ask you for permission to tell the story, but I'm telling it from your friend's perspective. So the detective asks the prosecutor, "So what are you doing in church?" The prosecutor says, "We're studying Revelation." And the detective says to him, "No, you're not." He says, "What do you mean, no, we're not?" And he says, "Well, what are you doing in church?" He said, "We're studying Revelation." And he said, "No, you're not." He said, "Will you stop telling me, no, you're not? What do you mean, no, you're not?" And he said, "Have you listened to Bob and Yart Live's verse-by-verse study of the book of Revelation?" And the prosecutor said, "No." The detective said, "Well, then you're not studying the book of Revelation. You might be reading it, but you're not studying it." And that's giving us way too much credit, but it's an example of how excited Christians get. People have been studying the Bible for 30 years. When they find the scriptures taught from the perspective of the overview of the whole Bible. And so whether it's criminal justice or foreign policy or economics or relationships or sexual morality, or if it's protesting, we address these issues from the perspective of a Christian worldview. And that's the goal, that we, once we're saved and the Lord has given us eternal life, then that's not the end, that's the beginning. And then we study the scriptures to build up a Christian worldview, and then we apply that worldview. So, regarding protesting, we mentioned a couple examples of protesting in the Bible, and it often comes with a consequence. It doesn't mean it's wrong to protest, but it does mean that there's a consequence. Remember the Apostle Paul, this wasn't protesting, but he appealed. Remember he appealed his case to Caesar? That's not protesting, but that was a legal maneuver. And he eventually was martyred, killed, put in prison, house arrest for a few years, and then he wrote his prison epistles. And so does that mean that Paul was wrong to appeal because it didn't turn out well? No. What he did was perfectly valid. Does it mean that John the Baptist was wrong for publicly rebuking King Herod for committing adultery, the same way we here rebuke our leaders when they are sinning openly, like Donald Trump fully funding child killing in America, Planned Parenthood, at the Barack Obama levels? Three times now he's signed appropriation bills that fully fund Planned Parenthood and everything else they fund, much of which is grotesquely immoral. So from a biblical worldview, that's what we do here at Bob and Yart Live. And it helps us to build a Christian worldview and then to learn how to exercise it. So NFL players, they don't have the right to free speech to say whatever they want to say while they're working. They don't have that right. The owners may give them that right, and in a de facto way, they may give them that right, but they don't have the right. And when the owners give them the right to participate, let's say, in a Black Lives Matter protest, which is an inherently racist protest, in support of Black Lives Matter and against the police, how this all started with Colin Kaepernick, the first to sit out the national anthem while conspicuously wearing socks, portraying police officers as pigs, I'm glad he's out of work. Because for all the problems that we have in the nation, portraying police officers as pigs only adds to the problems. And the inherent racism within Black Lives Matter is adding to the problems, not helping to resolve the problems. So, when and where, as an employee, you don't have the right to protest. If your boss lets you protest, like if your boss lets the waiter protest and leaflet you at your table at your favorite restaurant, and he's leafleting something that's inherently racist or despising of police officers, then you may not want to go back to that restaurant because it's the owner approving of the waiter's protest. The same thing is happening with the NFL. And there are people who are saying, you know what, I enjoy football, but not that much. Not that much. And I'm not going to watch. I'm not going to go to the game. And sure enough, there was a Sunday night football game last weekend where the stadium at kickoff was half empty. At halftime, it looked like it was at least 35% empty at halftime. That's unheard of. So there is a rising disgust with the NFL. And so that'll fall out wherever it falls out. But when someone protests, what is correct and what is incorrect to protest about? And there is no process answer to that question. Like so much in life, that is only answered by looking at the truth or falsehood of what is being claimed in the protest. We are a homeschool family, and our kids get involved in homeschool co-ops and in different ones. At Denver Bible Church, we have a homeschool co-op, and once a week, the parents go with the kids. And it's not a drop-off-your-kids thing. It's the parents and the kids together. It's just wonderful. But our kids are older. They're going to college, and they're going to a homeschool co-op. So one of the students said that, well, abortion, for example, is wrong. And the teacher presented arguments for exceptions, like maybe it's not wrong to kill this child or this child. And that was very disconcerting to hear as parents. And then there was an argument about where rights come from. And one of the students said, well, rights come from God. And the teacher said, well, which God? Which God? Which God do you think? The only God who exists. You don't get rights from a God who doesn't exist. That's not possible. If somebody worships a chunk of wood, like we read about in the Bible, God says, look at how inane these people are. They cut down a branch off a tree. With half of it, they make a fire to cook their lunch. And with the other half, they pray and they worship to it. You're worshiping a chunk of wood. Rights don't come from idols. They don't come from non-existent gods. Rights only come from the true God. And there's no way around that. There's no process way around that. So what's correct and what's incorrect to protest about? Well, it comes down to the truth or falsehood, the right or wrongness of whatever is being protested. If you're protesting for permission to kill an unborn child, then you're wrong. You're guilty. And unless you're forgiven by God, you will answer for that at the great white throne judgment. So when people protest for permission to do something that's immoral, something that's wrong, that's always wrong. And if what they are protesting for is permission to do something that's criminal, then Their very protest itself is criminal. They're basically conspiring to commit a crime. Like if someone was protesting for the right to kill a governing official. Do we have the right to free speech? Of course we do. Where does that come from? Well, it comes from the same place that all our rights come from. Because we have liberty, because we are free people, we're made in God's image and God's likeness. And he has given us freedom because we have the ability to love, and that requires the ability also to hate. So we are free creatures. We have liberty. For example, in the Bible, God says, do not kidnap. And if you kidnap and you're convicted, then that's a capital crime. You are to be put to death. So that tells us, just like do not murder tells us we have a right to life, and do not steal tells us we have a right to own property, and do not bear false witness against your neighbor, don't commit perjury, tells us we have a right to due process. Also, do not kidnap tells us that we have a right to liberty. No one can justly deny us of our liberty. And we human beings, we're essentially verbal human beings. That's who we are. You can't take someone and put tape over their mouths and not allow them to speak, because that denies them their liberty, their freedom. God said, let there be light. God himself is verbal. And he made us in his image and his likeness. So free speech is a right that we get, like all other rights, from our Creator. It's one of the things in the Declaration of Independence that happens to be correct. Not everything in there is correct, but that is correct, that we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. Among these are the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. People have free speech. When they are employed, they miss out on many opportunities to exercise freedoms that they would otherwise be able to exercise while they are employed. So when and where? No, an employee does not have a free speech right to protest while he's at work, and an NFL player is at work getting paid. Now, what if you're in Germany and you're in the Olympics and the Germans are killing the Jews and you want to protest? Sure, you could protest. Just like John the Baptist could protest. And what he said was right, and he paid the price, and he was great for doing it. So if there were Germans who wanted to protest during the Olympics, wouldn't that have been great? And they would have risked their necks because of the government that was in office. So when we stand up for what is right, there's various context, and depending on the substance, the gravitas of what it is we're protesting for or against, usually against, then that determines the appropriateness of what context, when and where. And my employee may not want me to say that he's robbing his customers, but that might really be just the right time to say it while I'm at work. So those are the issues from a Christian worldview. May God bless you.